A lot of people don't realize he's a painter, whose work is very much in demand. But nearly everyone knows he's a pop and jazz singer, now in his third career incarnation and still going strong. Talk about reinventing yourself. I'm Fred Macy, and this is The Jazz Scene, dedicated to the preservation, promotion, and appreciation of jazz, America's classical music. Of course, I'm talking about the great Tony Bennett. A few years back, I had the pleasure of speaking with him about where he'd been, and rather prophetically, where he was going.
Missed the Saturday dance. Heard they crowded the floor. Couldn't bear it without you. Don't get around much anymore.
They say that everybody is given a gift to do one thing very, very well. You have two. How does a guy get that lucky, art and music?
Well, thank you very much. I do feel fortunate, but I don't think I'm exceptional. I think that everybody, you know, in a capitalist society, we're built on making money, so everybody kind of puts a focus in on one thing, but I think that a man should do many things. I wish I could do more.
How come you didn't become an artist to start with, that is to say, a painter?
Well, I went to art schools, but I always loved to sing so much, and it kind of overrode everything, and I still feel the same way, even though I like doing both things.
You were a singing waiter, as I understand it. That sounds like it's something that could have been fun, probably a great memory.
Well, it was fun. It turned me on to staying in the business. There were two Irish waiters, you know, that would... I'd get a request at a table to sing a certain song, and I'd run back in the kitchen, and they'd teach me the song, and out of necessity, I don't know, I guess I would learn the songs right away and then just run out and then sing the songs and get extra tips that way. But it was a lot of fun because, it became a nerve ball. You'd have to go and learn the song and come right out and sing it.
You've been quoted as saying that the hard times, if you would, the climb sort of ended around 1949. What were some of those times like before 1949?
Well, it was pretty tough. For many years I'd have to go take auditions and go around and just get turned down one after another. And I had some great teachers, but the jobs were, you know, before you get known, it's hard to get going. And I had all kinds of odds and ends jobs, you know, that grocery clerk, and I worked for the Associated Press as a runner.
What happened in 1949?
What happened is I was I got a job down in Greenwich Village in the club, and Pearl Bailey came in, and she heard me singing at her rehearsal, and she said, she told the boss, if you don't hire this boy, she says, I'm not going to perform for you next week. I want him on my show. And the boss took me on, and then Bob Hope came in and saw me and started my career. Took me on the road with him.
You mentioned great teachers. You've had some great teachers in music, people that kind of coached you a little bit along the way, pointed you in the right direction in the business. Bob Hopes
I've
and
such.
I've
had this great musical adventure, you know, of performing with Woody Herman and Stan Kenton and Count Basie, Duke Ellington, and then great individual artists like Bill Evans and Stan Getz and Al Cohn, Zoot Sims, just the finest musicians.
And, a complete list of who's who, isn't it?
Yeah, really, and they're all on records I've made. They all performed with me, and I recently realized I made 91 albums. They said, my God, that's a lot of albums, but it's not like elevator music. It's all these great, great artists that were on the recordings, so that there's a timelessness about the recordings now.
And Tony Bennett was one of those great artists. Tony, you don't sound like anybody else. How did you get to be so one of a kind? You must have had an inspiration somewhere, somebody that you said, hey, I want to sound that way. That's comfortable for me.
Yeah, but see, I had a very good teacher on 52nd Street, Miriam Spear, who taught me not to imitate singers, but to imitate musicians.
Uh-huh.
And so I chose the way Art Tatum made a production out of a popular song, and And I like Stan Getz and Zoot Sims and that kind of Lester Young. And so I used to listen to a lot of saxophone players to get that honey sound. And it just came out. And then just by being myself, you're automatically different than anyone else.
Speaking of the honey sound and Stan Getz and people like that, you're the guy that's credited with bringing bossa nova to the U.S. How'd that happen?
Well, I went down to Rio, and I wonderful bass player by the name of Don Payne was with me at the time, and he knocked on my door and said, come out to the beach. I said, why? He said, come on out to the beach. I want you to hear something. I went out there and met Joao Gilberto and Astor Gilberto. And so when I went home, I was so excited. They had just made their first records, and originally their first records were to be that they would never leave Rio, that they would just make enough money to live in Rio and live on the beach and with the royalties from the albums, just live that way.
They wanted to be beach bums.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
And so that I put those records under my arm, and when I went back to the United States, I stopped in San Francisco and at KSFO and showed the disc jockeys these new records of bossa nova. And God, it's caught on like crazy. It just went right across the whole country. It became a rage.
Like a lightning bolt. You've been quoted as saying that you learn something different every day. What's the most important thing you've learned in your career?
Wow, that's...
In your life, if you like.
There's so many good thoughts, you know, but I think the best one is just being good to yourself. Just respecting yourself.
You've performed with some of the biggest and some of the best. Who would you say is the most exciting performer you've had the pleasure of working with? And boy, that's got to be a tough one.
Well, I've always liked Count Basie.
Basie?
You know, he was so understated, and he would just hit one note on the piano. The whole band would be roaring, but he would get the band to roar. But every once in a while, without any microphones on the piano or anything, he'd just hit one note, and the whole place would explode. In fact, a lot of times, he didn't even play anything. He would just look at the audience and get a reaction. I never saw anybody with so much electricity and aura around him.
Who's the most underrated musician you've ever worked with?
Well, of singers, I think Johnny Hartman.
Why, yeah,
I thought was a wonderful, wonderful singer. And, you know, he just never connected with the masses. But, to me, he was right in that Bing Crosby tradition, and he sang beautiful.
I keep hearing things that Tony Bennett is in his second career. How do you feel about that? Is this a second career for you now, these last couple of years?
I like what Johnny Carson said once. He said, there's no such thing as a comeback. He said, it's a, you know, either an artist is well-known or he isn't. And I guess that was just a press agent's dream. Although my sons did come along the last 10 years and reconstruct my life to balance it out so I could just paint and sing and cleared the deck so that I have a freedom about doing that. Yeah.
So they're still kind of looking after Dad, huh?
Yeah, they are, and they're doing a great job. They're real artists. They paint and sculpt, and they're into music, and have a recording studio that's doing very well, and I'm very happy for them.
One of the reasons I ask, by the way, about the second career is that I think a lot of people think, gee, what happened to Tony Bennett? And then all of a sudden he came back. You actually, that was an elected thing, wasn't it? You took time out to paint.
Well, I did. I kind of got burnt out with deadlines. I was doing 3 albums a year for 23 years. So I didn't have enough time to paint. And also... you know, I thought I could make better albums if I had a little more time.
You think your painting feeds your music a little bit in terms of getting your head in the right place?
Yeah, well, it's a great balance, you know. On the stage, you plan to thousands of people. With paintings, it's always a one-to-one thing, just you and the canvas, without board meetings or other people's opinions. You know, it's just strictly a thing of either you conquer the painting or it fails, and you're the blame. If it doesn't work, you have to just go back to the drawing board.
That's true of music too, though, isn't it?
Well, no, music is more or less proper involvement. You have to work with 4 or 5 people or 3 people or a whole symphony orchestra sometimes, or a big band. But with painting, it's just you and the canvas, And then if you do a good one, it's very, very gratifying.
What would you like to do next with your life? Where does Tony Bennett want to head next?
Well, I'd like to just keep growing. I'd like to, you know, just keep trying to sing better and trying to paint better and try and contribute as much artwork as possible to society.
In terms of both the canvas and the music?
Yes. I try to find the very best American popular songs, and I have the Ralph Sarin Trio with Dynamite, the best musicians I've ever run across. And Ralph's been with me 25 years. He's found all my songs for me right through the years. And just try to conjure up as much of a good time as we could think of so that the public enjoys themselves.
I want no sweet music until you return.
Tony Bennett is jazz royalty. After the interview, he sent us a couple of tickets to his concert that was taking place a few days later, complete with backstage passes, I might add. I'll never forget the experience. There was this sea of human gel pressing against the red velvet restraining ropes, just itching to catch even the slightest glimpse of Tony. After a few minutes, two members of his staff came down this long corridor, parted the sea, and led us, just my wife and myself, through the ropes and back up the corridor, where we had a really terrific visit with one of the world's nicest guys. VG even collected a kiss on the cheek before we were led back out, past the now penetrating glares of adoring fans who must have been wondering just exactly who the heck we were. I'm not sure at that moment we even knew. Well, life is a great ride. Wishing you the good life. Until the next time we meet, I truly hope you'll enjoy the sights and sounds we offer as much as I enjoy providing them. Be sure to let me know what it is that you like, what you want to hear, by leaving a comment either here at the Jazz Scene or on the website itself, markofjazz.com. And don't forget the profound wisdom of Mr. Miles Davis, who said, "Don't play what's there, play what's not there."